My name is Aubrey Goodman, and this is Distilled. You can find us on the internet at distilledradio.com, also on Twitter at distilledradio. You can find me also on Twitter at Aubrey Goodman, as it sounds. I'm solo again today to talk about time travel. So it may sound a little tongue-in-cheek, but I am really actually talking about users who appear to be traveling through time. When we look at application logs, sometimes we see in the mobile world, because users have the ability to change the system clock on their device, this sometimes has an accidental effect on other things they don't expect. So we're gonna dig into that a bit today. To give you a little bit of context of why we talk about these things, like, it sounds like, well, wait a minute, everything is connected to some network. There's the ability for the network to provide the current time so that everybody stays synchronized. This is something that NASA solved when they started having communications with devices in orbit, and we have time shift as a result of traveling faster. So you'd think that this is something that's smart scientists somewhere solved this already, but as it turns out, that only really works if the users themselves don't interfere. So let me start with why we discovered this, or how I came to observe this in the real world, and we'll dig into some theories about why, or at least we think why we think it's happening. So for context, again, a mobile application that measures user behavior. This is a very common practice. Engineering teams regularly introduce mechanisms that allow them to measure the behavior of users and system components in the wild. We use this, or my team uses this, as a mechanism to understand better what's happening. We can see a wider scope picture if we just look at the full session log, all of the various things that we've introduced into software components that allow them to log their state. We try not to be too spammy, but there are situations that sometimes require lots and lots of logs to really get a clear picture, and not just logs for the last 5 seconds, but maybe logs for the last few days. Sometimes latent system behavior, or specifically misbehavior, presents because something goes wrong at some point, but it doesn't actually present immediately at the exact time when the information was changed. So there's some downstream effects that sometimes just simple time series data analysis tools will give us the ability to learn quite a lot about what our users are doing. So in this case, specifically, also I'm talking about second level challenge, which is having a connected device, in this case a wearable, so a device that is worn by the user, but not directly connected to their phone. So whenever the peripheral connects to the phone, we might take that opportunity to synchronize a clock and say, hey, here's what time we think it is. But realistically, there's plenty of situations, normal scenarios, where the peripheral, this wearable device, would encounter a situation where its time, or its idea of what time it is, might change. And this happens just because of, again, a wide range of potential causes. Sometimes it might be battery level goes too low for a brief period of time and causes some subsystem, some timing component to lose charge at such time. It, you know, when it regains that power, the voltage comes back up to a place where it expects. At that point, it might think that the timer clock has just been reset to zero, so it'll just start counting up again. But it might start from the wrong place. That's an example. There are others. Of course, if the battery dies completely in the device, there's nowhere for us to certainly store the clock. So we have to wait until we can sync with another device to inform the connected device what time it really is. So since we have to rely on an external source as a source of truth, sometimes you get into a situation where the source of truth is actually a lie. So this specifically comes into play when user behavior is involved. And one thing that we, I guess it's a side effect of design that we never really expected, although frankly, there's so many things we don't expect. But there are things about users that lead us to really have a hard time as engineers and product developers. It can be quite challenging. So one simple example here is that mobile phones are inherently, because users love to be able to change things about their devices, they like to be able to customize these things, and one of those things is what time it is. So there's a checkbox mostly on most devices, I think, Android, iOS, sort of doesn't matter. There's a checkbox somewhere in a settings screen that will allow the user to, if the checkbox is enabled, the device will attempt to detect what time it is based on some third party service, like network time protocol, NTP, is a popular solution for this. But if, for example, the user turns it off, then they have the ability to specify exactly what time it is, whatever they want. So in the case of what we see a device connect. We see data for this device, and then there's just a gap at some point. We just have no data whatsoever until some future time. And then there's normal operation again until another future time where we start to see weird data that looks like it's out of order. And this is because the gap, the data from that gap, was moved forward in time or backward in time, you know, whichever direction you go, you're going to get a situation where something is weirdly out of order, and also a corresponding gap where there isn't any data from one timestamp to another. So in our case, we I managed somehow to craft a SQL query that allowed me to take advantage of some built-in mechanisms. If, for example, you're using AWS, that's Amazon Web Services, mobile analytics platform, there is an inherent field that will help you with this. This was really instrumental in our overcoming this challenge. Basically, there are two fields. One is the event timestamp, and the other is a arrival timestamp. Arrival timestamp is the server's interpretation of time at the time when the log was synchronized. That is when the mobile device uploads its log. Like there's a log that it's been storing locally on device, and when it gets a chance to upload, it dumps a big bucket of data all at once in one big chunk. And that is associated with an arrival time. So since the arrival time is something that's defined by the third-party remote service, the likelihood that it will be compromised at the same time as the event timestamp is compromised is very, very low. So we use the arrival timestamp to identify real, actual time, and then we can essentially sort by the arrival and then the event time. And this gives us an actual timeline where we can start to say, okay, this is reasonably sorted. We can expect that these things are all in line. And as a result, then we just simply look for time, things that we know to be consecutive events where there can't be something in between those two unless something's wrong. And then we look to see if every instance of one has the other immediately before or after it in this timeline. And if not, this is a strong indication that there is some strange shift in data somewhere caused by system clock overrides. So clearly we don't want the user to be modifying their system in such a way that it causes these unexpected behaviors, because basically there's no way for the user to know that this has happened until later when things look very strange. But because of this sort of slow propagation of information through the system from a peripheral into a mobile device and then eventually into some cloud system, there's just an opportunity, too much of an opportunity for the user to introduce very strange behaviors if the system clock is allowed to be modified. And of course, we're not saying that we would draconianly enforce some kind of messaging to tell the user not to do it. There's a technical solution to this, I think, but it's a behavior that we would really like to inspire the user to not do. We want to discourage this. But that brings us into a conversation about why we believe it happens in the first place. Because, you know, I can understand why a user might have a specified time setting on their phone. They may prefer, some people prefer to set their clocks forward a few minutes so that they're not late for things. Sort of a life hack, if you will. But that itself is one of the kinds of behaviors that we see. So one of the most probable scenarios is that some of these users, and of course there's no way for us to validate this without substantially compromising users' security, which we definitely don't want to do. And we certainly don't want to start snooping around in their device without permission. So what we believe might be a cause is actually kind of hilarious, and that is that some free-to-play games have time limits on how long you can play. So, for instance, Candy Crush. Candy Crush is a fairly popular game over the last, I don't know, 5 or some years, and it is one of these games. So it has a limitation where after a certain number of attempts, like each attempt at a particular level, if you fail at the end, you retry. Each retry counts down in a consumable constraint situation. So you basically have tokens, and you use up your tokens, and what do? Of course, they ask you to pay for more tokens, or wait some number of hours. You see where I'm going with this. If the user is asked to wait a few hours, the user might become impatient and wish to play some more, and they may think they're clever in setting their system clock forward by 3 or 4 hours to get around that cooldown timer. But while they're busy playing Candy Crush, we're busy collecting biometric data in the future. So when they eventually set their clock back, maybe they do it immediately after they're finished the game. Maybe they forget. Maybe they get distracted by some other thing in their lives. But however it works, there's a really good chance that in the interim, they have accidentally introduced this strange behavior. So they would start to see weird recordings, weird measurements in their timeline, and they're fairly likely to complain about them, or at least to bring them to our attention through some kind of customer service pipeline. Our being the company in question, whichever product owner is being published. This is not an isolated problem to one company or even one industry. This will be something that anyone producing a wearable or a IoT, Internet of Things, connected device that relies on time for logging, this is a ubiquitous problem. So that's why I'm talking about it today. I unfortunately don't have any really strong solutions to solve it beyond one simple one, which is inspired by the ride-sharing company Lyft. Lyft released a library last year called Kronos, with a K, K-R-O-N-O-S. It is essentially a mechanism specifically designed to solve this exact problem. What they were experiencing was related to devices in the wild trying to communicate things like estimated time of arrival. So if you're the driver and you have your system clock set up correctly and you're picking up a passenger whose system clock is 3 minutes set in the future, then when you tell them, or when your system says, "I will be there in 3 minutes," the response they get on the other side is, "I have arrived," which is clearly incorrect. So in order to prevent users from this struggle, this miscommunication, which is certainly ripe for consumer complaint, confusion, user frustration, all of which no one wants, and they're all avoided by using a mutually agreed definition of what time it is by virtue of using, as I mentioned earlier, NTP server, so network time protocol. There are servers out in the wild on the internet that are actively providing and synchronizing time for many, many millions of devices. And what the Kronos library does is it allows you to take advantage of that very simply. So it essentially replaces references to essentially the date object. So if you want to create a date object that has essentially just the current time, you are using the system clock. Whereas if you use the alternative mechanism provided by the Kronos library, it will give you a more accurate, or at least more well agreed upon definition of what time it really is. So for the case of peripherals, when you're sending a system clock synchronization message to your connected device, use the time provided by the NTP server. I cannot stress enough how much value there is and how much this will save time, frustration, confusion, and just a lot of resources spent to solve a problem that, as I said, is really just about agreeing on what time it is, which sounds just so absurd. But doing things like this will really help just simplify. And I, for one, am really happy whenever I can find an easy solution that allows me to move past complex and often confusing problems simply by making some slightly better decisions. So that's going to do it for this episode. We're running a little lean today, but I just want to leave you with some sage wisdom about time, which is, I guess, you got to agree on what time it is, or else you're going to have a whole lot of problems, especially when you start interacting with others. You know, if it's just you on an island, probably doesn't matter what time it is. The sun will tell you all that you really need to know. But when you're building tools that allow others to communicate and so much more, it's critically vital that we all agree on that one thing. And at least if we can start there, maybe we have a chance in other ways. So that's my sage wisdom to leave you with for today. Thanks for listening. This has been Distilled.